meeting of the things in order. I'm going to take number two on the agenda out of order. Let's start with the list.
You're on this mute list.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, now.
You're good.
Where would you like me to start?
If there's anything you feel is or noteworthy,
So we have a couple of new projects that are coming in 2025. One is a network detection response system, which is really an add-on to our cybersecurity technology stack that really kind of takes in all the network traffic from our firewalls. And it applies artificial intelligence to that to kind of look at and categorize the traffic that comes in and out of our networks to allow us to really get a sense of where some of these potential attack vectors are originating from and targeting internally and vice versa. If things are leaving our network and going home with something that we don't want them to, we can kind of get the AI allows to kind of develop this kind of profiling for us. That allows us to quickly respond to unusual events that might be happening on our network. And so that's a project that I think will really add some significant capabilities to our team. All on that. We're also, 2025, we are our current ticketing system, Cherwell, is end of life, and we are replacing it with a modern equivalent to that, or as an improvement to that, which is an enterprise service management platform, which does IT service management, but also can scale to do human resources service management, facility service management, and it is an entire ecosystem that allows for automated workflows and application development to be able to stitch different systems together, programming capabilities so that we can have greater efficiencies between, say, HR and IT and safety, et cetera, so that we want to that will eliminate some of the paper-based or types of workflows and develop triggers and automations and workflows in a much more comprehensive and modern capability. That goal of that is to add greater efficiency to the county as a whole, and also to allow us to sunset the legacy ticketing system and add some greater capability to not just my team, but the county as a whole. So those are the two big new initiatives that we're rolling out in 2025.
What is the new ticketing system?
The new ticketing system is out for RFP right now, so they're reviewing if it's ready.
So we don't have a specific one, or just have reference requirements, not specific?
Yeah.
Okay. Other question I have is, part of the request was cut significantly. I believe, is that what I'm reading? Can someone explain that to me?
So we were able to roll out some hardware for across the county. We also have a lot of stock that we also were able to use as well to kind of backfill some departments this year. So some of those targeted departments, like the district attorney, for example, we were actually able to use some of the stock equipment that we had to fulfill those requests. And that's why we were able to kind of cut some of those memory requests this year, because we fulfilled them with stock equipment that we had in house. So we'll replenish that again in the new year because of often things that stock equipment, because that's coming out of the sun and we need to be prepared. But as far as the targeted IT refreshes for department, we were able to fulfill the bulk of those this year.
Some question software. It's 86,000. Less than software than was requested, is that correct?
The software adjustment was for extra hops, which was moved into the capital program.
Excellent.
I have the same question for
expenses related to periodicals. It was a 1.7 request and 1.3 was the recommended.
It's hard to figure that. What was that again?
It's a contractual expenses periodicals. It was a $1.7 million request and the recommended was 1.3. It's line 4,600, 4,635. Miscellaneous contractual expenses periodicals.
And what was the question again?
What's the difference between your request of 1.7 and the executive recommended of 1.3?
So we have, over the course of the year, we've made some, we've identified some redundant services, redundant subscriptions and licenses and subscriptions that we've had in the past for things like, you know, Cisco equipment where there's a subscription for some of the software. And, there were some redundancies in there that we were able to fall back. But that was that work that we identified and that was able to kind of reduce those subscription costs based on items like that. And that was more of a review of our assets, review of our subscriptions, a reviewing of some of the licenses, and cutting them up, surgically, you know, from our budget.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And part of that also was the ExtraHop software component. Since this will be a first year we roll it out, it will come within that capital project.
Got it.
That was part of it.
Okay. Just a significant difference.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Anything else, Alan?
No.
All right, so this standard question I'm just going to ask of everybody, but some of you have already covered, so you don't have to go back over so did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
No.
Are there any new programs, projects, initiatives planned for 2025, or are any of them being eliminated?
I just mentioned it in my opening statement, but new extra hop necessary section of response, and our ICSM platform, which will sunset Cherwell. So it's a combination of a new implementation that will eliminate an existing one.
Do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and about capital program for your department of right size, including staffing for all your needs slash work?
Okay, that was hard to hear. Needs repeat yourself. I'm sorry.
Do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and, if applicable, capital program for your department is right size, including staffing for your needs and slash workload?
Yes.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm so happy to be before Ways and Means on our budget since I meet with you often and we used to go to Laws and Rules for this purpose and I felt like I was talking to people who didn't know the work that we did as well. So we're glad to be here. What I would like to do is answer your two questions first, and then I'll take you through some changes in our budget from last year to this year, talk about the year coming up. But we did ask for 5% raises for all three of our management positions, the Director of Internal Audit, the Deputy, and the Confidential Secretary. There is a discrepancy between the personnel listing in the budget and the regular pay line, and you will see a technical amendment from the budget department on that point. We believed that what had happened is that the confidential secretary's 5% raise had made it through onto the personnel line and not the regular pay line, but I learned from budget director Juris earlier today that it was actually a transposition error. However, we would like to keep that 5% raise, especially looking at some of the other departments on the same hall that are giving their confidentials over 9% raise. So that is an issue for us. And I will just say, you know, similar to the county attorney's office, we have lost staff over our pay positions. We are waiting for the salary study. We are coming to you today with a plan on how to rectify the situation. But that is really the only thing, and we recognize the salary study is coming, so I understand why there was a call for sort of across the board approach in the executive's budget, but that is the only thing that we asked for that we did not receive, so I wanted to highlight that. In terms of new programs, initiatives, and projects, we, as you know, last year added a contract review and contract process to our workload by incorporating the quality analyst and her work. And what we've found is that's incredibly valuable. Since that change went into effect, we have seen an audit by New York State Office of State Comptroller of Dutchess County that actually was very critical of the county for not doing a better job at identifying whether or not vendors were meeting all their contract requirements. Some of the things they are requesting that the county look at are not things that we currently look at in any substantial detail. For example, prevailing wage schedules on capital projects. What our approach has been is to now go in and sample some of these additional items, but we do not have the staffing needed to really do the kind of contract review work to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed, to the extent that the comptroller's office is asking Dutchess County to do it and now our county. So that is an additional area that we're looking to expand. We want to expand the quality analytics work that we're doing. The second area that I think that we're going to be hoping to implement in 25 is routine auditing of revenues. That's not to say an individual audit of a particular revenue area, like, you know, how is Department of Health handling their cash, for example, coming in for environmental permits. This is sort of across the board countywide and really impacts things beyond just the day-to-day cash transactions. It would include, you know, are we receiving the grant revenues that we think we should be? What about these more complicated revenues that we're getting right now, cannabis revenues, sales tax revenues, et cetera. So we are going to be expanding our footprint a little bit into the revenue side on the day-to-day basis. So what I would like to do is just, I think you guys all have this, came from the committee from Natalie when she sent out the packet, and I want to just identify a couple of things here that I think is important to identify for you so that you know why these numbers are changing and what they mean. I would first call your attention to line 46, 4620, miscellaneous expenses, licenses, and certifications. This is an audit software we tried out for a few years in the comptroller's office. It is a $7,000 a year cost. We are sunsetting that. We are not going to continue that license. We have a significant change in our miscellaneous contractual expense. Other is highlighted here. I wasn't sure what the highlight means because we didn't put it in, but I can tell you that we are reducing that line from $25,000 to $10,000. There is a good reason for that reduction. You graciously put $25,000 in last year to allow us to update our website at the comptroller's office. It has not been done for many, 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 many years. That website change is almost completed. There may be some cleanup work that occurs into 2025, but that contract will be fully expended by the end of the year. And then two other significant changes are postage and printing. You can see these on 4600, 4645, and 4650. One is for 2000 and the other is for 1000. We have learned and we have heard from our, particularly our senior constituents, that they would like paper. And they would like paper mailed to their senior center and to their library. And they would like every report, not just an annual popular annual financial report. That is going to cost a little bit more money. And in addition, you know, we are looking at the possibility of audits that would require mailings. I'll give you an example. We currently have over 2,000 Airbnb properties that are not compliant with Ulster County requirements. That's a lot of mail should we undertake that. So we're building in something here that would allow us that flexibility. If we don't need it, we will not use it. That's the best I can say there. So with regard to the budget presented, that I think is the gist of it. I do want to note that we are going to be coming to you guys for a budget amendment. I've had the opportunity to speak with several of you about it, and I'm looking forward to answering questions for the rest of you and filling it in right now. And this is really in regard to the two issues that we discussed earlier,
which is the issue of the issue of contract monitoring and the issue of revenue auditing. We have not been able to fill the director of internal audit position, you guys. We have advertised this position six ways from Sunday with NYSAC, with the New York State Government Finance Officers Association, on Indeed, on the county website. The position pays less than the people it supervises per hour. It is just not a palatable position. We've also decided that we should not just stick with this position. Okay, I'm watching the resumes come in, and they're not good resumes. Meanwhile, when we advertised the auditor position for Steve Ross's replacement, we did get good resumes. We saw better resumes at a more junior level. Our proposal is to take the director of internal audit position, to sunset that position, and to instead create a position that is a quality analyst to help us grow our quality analytics work, and a revenue auditor to help us audit revenues on a day-to-day basis. So we have for you our proposed position summary. I really wanted you to see the hours, and I want to note two other things here. We are proposing to change the deputy's hours to match the hours of the deputies in finance. This proposal was in the executive budget last year, and it was removed by the legislature. That resulted in the loss of a CPA to the county. So there are a number of changes here that we are talking about. I really tried to lay out hours so you can see exactly what I'm talking about. The auditors work 80 hours every 2 weeks. They have 8-hour days. We have learned from personnel and that they are not supposed to be earning comp time. So I have proposed the tiny overtime line here that would allow us to compensate them when they go over their 80. It's not common, you guys, but we have had unbelievably challenging sheriff's payrolls that have caused us overtime. I cannot compensate the auditors for that. And I also want to note, having the auditors at 80 hours is really important when you think about how much the budget has grown in 5 years. Budget has grown like nearly 20% in 5 years. So we're talking about more claims, more auditing on a day-to-day basis, and we really need a way to be able to support folks as they put in the time and effort. So these are the changes that that we're talking about. I'm going to lay them out again. One is an overtime line for the auditors that are 80 hours. One is adjusting the deputy's hours to match those of the deputy commissioners of finance. It's not going to raise his overall pay, but what it would do is it would make each hour better compensated. And then to remove the DAC and replace it with a quality analyst too and a revenue auditor. Now, the increase to regular pay for these changes is $45,000. If you turn the page to this draft amendment, you can see the full impact of the change, which would be $73,741. That includes benefits for the new position. The DAC was a higher compensated position than quality analyst two or revenue auditor. So we're actually, you could almost say like we're replacing the DAC with a quality analyst two. That brings down the total cost of that position and then adding a new one. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have. I do want to say one other thing, which is that I think we're going to hear from the state controller's office about the BERT investigation before the end of the year. And we have identified internal control weaknesses. Legislator Collins was getting at that because we issued a memo on cash management several weeks ago. We are trying to get out in front, and I put in support to close the internal control weaknesses that we've already identified. I will come back to you if the state controller says, no, you guys need to be focused on something else, then we will modify these positions accordingly to address that. Happy to answer for any questions you have. I feel like it's a lot. Like, I like to come here and be like, everything's fine in our budget. We're good. Thanks. Bye. But
thank you, Marge. On this page, it's $45,000 salary increase. On this page, I see 73.
That includes the benefits for the new position.
Two new positions.
Two new positions, but getting rid of one. So yeah. It's actually less. Yeah.
So this is the amendment. We don't need to talk about this now unless you want to.
Well, similar to kind of what you were saying on the county attorney's office, it's really nice to see a proposal about exactly what you're planning, and that's what we tried to do in this draft amendment.
And I do appreciate you bringing this up and bringing the phone call. I do think your office needs to evolve into with the size of government. I'll be happy to support this amendment for you.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other questions?
Here's the last one. Do you feel your proposed 2025 budget and the technical capital programs in your department's right size for staffing for your needs slash purpose?
I think with this change it is, and I just want to also say something else, which is that, like, under Legislator Gavaris's leadership, this body pushed us in the direction of adding the kind of contract review and quality management issued, you know, scope and capacity we didn't have. I can't even imagine what I would be saying to you if we didn't already have that going on. So I really appreciate that this body's been forward thinking about, are we getting what we pay for when we, you know, outsource our services to these vendors? We really appreciate that we're further ahead than most counties in contemplating this.
So I do have a question. There's a resolution passed last year for 990s be looked at by nonprofits. Is that something that your office does, or is that something that the executive office does, or both?
We are not collecting 990s in our office, and I will also say that there are several other provisions. I sent a memo to Chair Criswell about minimum wage and living wage. That is going to be a gap come January 1st. I still have not learned from the executive's office and the county attorney about whether or not LLC transparency documentation is being collected, which is required by a separate policy. So these are areas that really need to be identified. Now, we can pull 990s off of GuideStar, and we do regularly, but they're outdated. It would be much better to have them submitted at the time the contract is signed.
Claims contractual expenses, contractual is down, which is in your budget for $100,000, we're at 71 wage. But even the year before, you were on Saturn.
What line are you on? I'm so sorry.
636. Yeah.
Is that my budget? Because I'm not seeing that.
Oh, 4,600, 4,600. That's the software I believe we discussed, the website for each side. Yeah.
No. Okay, okay, good. I was like, 100,000? No, I don't have 100,000 contractual. It is down. We will finish our software, I mean, our website redesign this year, and there might be a little bit left over. I do want to say each year we have budgeted lines for outside legal and outside accounting. We only use that if we need it. I can tell you right now this legal line, it says this is 4,300,4430. It says that only 2,470 has been spent. That is not true. There are outstanding invoices that are going to be paid, and that line is going to come down. The year to date, it's going to go way up on that. And then there are times that we have contemplating hiring experts outside of legal and accounting. We almost hired somebody to test compost from UCRA. Thankfully, that didn't happen. We have tested water. So there are times there are scientific or other expertise needed from an audit perspective that don't necessarily show up in accounting or legal. We hope not to need it, but. Thank you.
Answer questions again. All right. So, did you get a request that were not included in the total budget or capital building? Yes. Any new programs or projects or initiatives I have applied for? Well? Mm-hmm.
No.
Do you feel your proposed budget for police government contract for your department is right size with your staffing for your needs/work?
Yes.
Personnel has made no requests to our department budget this year. There were some reductions that we made in part-time, overtime pay, office supplies, hearing officer, conference expenses, exam fees, which was a recommendation from last year as well from this body, licenses and certifications, memberships, and printing services. Those are the only changes.
Isn't it like the approximate time going to the contracts that will expire during your contracts?
We're currently in negotiation. I do not have a estimated time frame for that yet.
Question.
Thanks for having me tonight.
Do you want to start with the question?
Yeah, sure. We didn't request that we're not in prison or capital.
So I have made a request the last 2 years for pay grade increases for the buyers and the principal buyers, just because of the amount of work and I think the complexity of the job compared to their grades right now. Now, I know we're waiting on the results of the salary study. So, you know, we're looking forward to see what happens there. I know that when I met with you guys a few years back, we had lost 6 out of the 8 people in our office. And a lot of that was due to, you know, them moving on to higher paying positions and saying that the, you know, the workload they felt was too much for the pay. So I'm hopeful that something can be done about the pay grades for those positions going forward. That's the only thing that's.
Assuming programs have lasted by crisis.
So probably 6 weeks ago or so, I met with the county executive and with the deputy executive, Jane Capuano, because they suggested a reorganization where they wanted to create a Department of General Services that would have purchasing underneath it, and it would also have a new division called Business Services where we would take right now, the idea was to take one person from the finance department, a financial analyst who works with departments, New World related processes and projects, and bring that person into our department because we could improve our, you know, the goal is to improve training, to improve new updated documents for New World training. And this person would be assisting the department with contract entry and contract assistance, especially small departments. We have a new vendor entry that has to be done, a new item entry. These are things that aren't being done by purchasing right now that have been done by finance and originally the ACE department out of finance. We're also talking about doing, looking at all the SOP, standard operating procedures, review, update, revise. So that's what the business services, that's the framework for the business services division. And we've talked about, you know, other things that we could do going forward. But since we're just getting started and right now we only have one person in the budget, I think that that would be plenty of work for the new person and myself to get working on. And I don't know if Jamie wants to.
You know, for this, the idea of the general services, kind of looking at the models, a lot of our smaller departments through the budget cycle brought up concerns that they had with some of just the kind of data entry components. A lot of that has to go into New World, as Ed said. The vendor setup, the contracts, the items, all that stuff can be really cumbersome on your smaller departments. We're also seeing some departments who just don't do that very often. So they're finding a lot of questions, a lot of things coming out. The employee, in talking to Commissioner Daw, a lot of that work isn't core finance work. So it's work that goes across the enterprise, but it's not necessarily finance in nature. It deals with our financial system, but everybody's dealing with the financial system. So really trying to centralize some of that work, alleviate some of the pressures on our smaller departments, but also have an arm that can handle some of the SOP updates, doing all those projects across the multiple departments and gaining a better understanding. So it's kind of everyone's doing it the same way. And then we can help training. We can help really get back to what we need to do within the New World training modules. This employee was answering a lot of questions. How do I set this up? How do I do this vendor entry? That kind of work can be centralized here. And then putting it within the purchasing realm will also help. We can then start to look at closing contracts, looking at our vendor updates, really kind of synchronize with those work products.
And just to clarify, that shows up in the budget in that increase of the recommendation of the line for regular pay, $1,300?
Yeah.
Thank you.
One of the other functions, I know we're focusing a lot on that. Our IT department, our IS department, sorry, they've been printing tax bills for all of the municipalities. That could also be something EdShop oversees, our central services. That could also be something that will roll into this function in the future.
Anything being eliminated?
Anything being eliminated? No.
Do you believe proposed 2025 budget intended back well with the capital program market is right size and staffing for your lead size proposal?
I would say yes, but it's going to be interesting to see how we make out with one person in the business services division right now. It could be something where we're going to need to add staffing going forward. It's hard to say right now.
Yes, what method originally is track based? Yeah, I understand you can give an explanation about where, our general services. How are we going to actually show that this saves money in the long run? Because this is a lot of explanation. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be working with our deputy budget director, Victoria Reed, who's going to really be doing all of our project mapping and strategic planning for the mergers. She's going to be helping out on both projects. And really looking at all the processes and procedures, looking at the time spent by the smaller departments, looking at the time efficiency saved within this department, also looking at the cost avoidance, which is always part of that analysis, to say if we're not backfilling vacant positions as we move forward, we're able to handle that within general services, that would be part of the analysis. So we're kicking that off as we spearhead this and start this up, so we would have a report back to everybody by the end of the year.
That year I went through a lot more than they did, so I was prepared for it all. You have to tell me how much you want and how much you don't want.
Any requests that were not included in the report budget for capital?
Not for capital.
The budget or
two positions, that one from real property they were defunding, and then the financial analyst that they're removing to the general services department. And then there was one other thing they took out, but I knew that I basically put two things in my budget, so I expected one of them to go. The only significant one would be that the CAFR, the auditing firm, has created the CAFR for 22 and 23. So in 24, in our budget, we're going to use those funds for them to do the CAFR, but also to teach us to do it ourselves.
To do the which?
To do the CAFR. To do the actual financial statements ourselves, because somebody here used to do them. This would be the first time that I've worked anywhere where it's done right in finance. So they're going to actually, they gave us a quote already and said, we can teach you to do it on your own, because that's the preferred method here at the county. So
thanks.
And then that cost should decrease then next year. No, basically, the only thing that I had on here was the New World training, which is going to be moved over to the general services. That was a endeavor we started this year. We had our first one countywide last week and this week. There were 80-something employees last week and almost 60 this week. So it was a very, very good turnout for procurement training. So there is definitely interest from everybody throughout the county to get training.
You think it's a good move to move that training over to general services?
I think there's a pro and a con. I think this particular person who worked in ACE and her expertise does very well for what their plan is for them to go over there. However, I had hoped to kind of reuse that position and redevelop that position because I truly need a financial analyst to help with metrics and financial reporting for you guys and account analysis and things like that a little bit higher level. So that will be the only challenge that we'll face there.
How detrimental of not having a financial analyst going to be?
It's going to make things just as challenging, you know. It's going to be challenging for us to get this stuff to the way we want it and get things ironed out. It's just going to take us longer to get there.
Isn't that a struggle already?
Yeah.
And this position has been vacant out here.
Yeah. All of our staff have been doing this, so they will lose some of this work with her when she takes it back and goes to the other department. But I can't tell you, you know, to what extent.
Feel
the
post
2017
cuts
of
that little program for your
recurring
staffing with
the sure
needs
slash
person.
I think
I
just answered that one. Sorry. Okay, let's stop. The only other position we have is the real property tax or defunding that one. And I don't think that that's going to have a significant impact on us. The only reason that position has been vacant is we had two people retire last year and we cannot find anybody to fill it. There are no applicants at all. And our concern isn't that this is being defunded. My concern is we have another senior member of that department retiring in 2025, and there are no applicants. They already offered the test. And the only person that took the test, we already have. So very concerned that we're not going to be able to fill the positions in real property next year. And I think that's going to become a major issue.
Just to follow up on that, any of our universities have programs that...
I was wondering the exact same thing. I know Jamie and I talked, and Ulster County Community College doesn't. We're not sure if New Paltz might have something, so we can always reach out to them. I can work with personnel to do something there.
I'm just going to bring up kind of a global theme I keep hearing is about recruiting. And I'd like to better understand how we recruit and how we recruit specific positions, sort of what our plan is. I should have asked our personnel director when she was here, but it is something that I've been hearing now over and over again. So I'd like to dig into that a little bit.
I think one of the main things that you'll
find is people don't like the civil service test. They have, you know what I mean? When they opened it up, so that we could hire people because there was no the lists were broken, so we were allowed to just hire provisionally, and we had so many more applicants. So I do think that is a part of it. Not sure if there's more to it, but that is a piece of it. You know, based on what you guys have here, I know Unified Fort, you'll see that lines in there increased. I don't know how much you want me to go in depth into some of these lines and larger increases or changes.
You can get over it, sure.
Mm-hmm. Unified Court was increased. We've just had a massive.
What is that?
That is 1162 is the department number. 1162 is 1026. There's only two lines in there. One is the professional services for interpreters, and we've asked for a considerable, increased it by 25,000. There's just been a large increase in the court orders for interpreters, so we really don't have a choice but to pay them. So there's a big increase there, and then there's another new line that we put in for professional services other for 8,000. We found that in general municipal law that, we're supposed to be paying for a particular portion of a statement that we get for stop DWI. And what's been happening is the county's been offsetting their revenue by that, and they shouldn't be. Stop DWI is supposed to get all that revenue, and the county's expense is supposed to be this other piece. So we're rectifying that in this current year. Assigned counsel, I know you've seen a significant change to that budget. Not only do you know that it went independent, but ILS gave us a 3-year contract, which almost everything in this budget is 100% reimbursable through that contract. The only thing that is not is the 18B legal services, which the revenue on that increased and otherwise didn't really change much. But the rest of that budget, the salaries, all the expenses, that's all part of that new contract. But that new contract only covers criminal cases. It does not cover family court. So there's always a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? A little back and forth with the lawyers not being able to get paid for some things from family court that they can get from criminal court. Real property tax, the only significant thing there was the position being defunded. I don't think there was anything really major there otherwise. I did do, just so you know, if you see some fluctuation, a little bit of fluctuation between real property and finance and within finance, we did do a little bit of reclassing. So where something was last year might be different this coming year because they were coding something to legal that really wasn't legal, or they were coding something to, you know, another line that really another line represented. So you'll see some shifts. You'll also see some of the expenses not looking like that we're not spending that money. A lot of those things get expensed in this last quarter, fans and bonds, so fiscal advisors, S&P, all those things. So the other thing was, any other specific questions? Tyler versus Hennepin is another, you'll see there's a part-time line in there with, I think it's like $55,000 or somewhere right in there. Because of Tyler versus Hennepin, they've changed the timeline of what we have to do and items that we have to do. And the two people we have doing it, Diane's been here for over 30 years, and she says there's no way that they can handle all that workload at those times of year. Certain things are going to like overlap from one year to the next. So they're going to be working on this year and next year at the same time. So there's part-time services put in there to try to help alleviate that, those time frames. We did also ask for some overtime for payroll because it's just between when you have those short payroll weeks and when you have like December and January when there's pay increases and W-2 changes and W-2s being issued and things like that. It just creates, you know, a much bigger workload for them. Plus, they've also been having a lot of overtime. There's been some difficulties with the sheriff's payroll, so we've had a few late nights for that. So, but I think we're getting that worked out. You'll see that.
Sorry, do we charge the sheriff's department that they're responsible? Is that allowable?
He would be willing. He's told me because he feels bad about it, and he's been very engaged when, you know, we've talked to them.
I mean, it's unfair that your department is reflected as having this overtime, but you're not the cause of it. So I think, from to be transparent about where the costs are actually coming from, potentially that's where it should be. I know there's a line for doing that.
And there's also, they have a new, their payroll clerk's only been there about a year. We have two new positions in ours. So I do think there's some back and forth there as well.
Yeah, I do think this is a situation given the staffing that they have there.
So you don't expect this to continue?
No.
This cannot continue.
It can't continue. I think they've changed a little bit over there. Okay. They're trying to see where the issues are and how to fix them. So I don't expect it to continue.
Okay. I'd like to add one thing about sheriff's payroll that I want to bring to your attention because it may impact future budgets, and that is the system that they use right now for sheriff's payroll is actually a scheduling system, and it's not designed for payroll. We're using it in a way that it's not really designed to be used, and that's the root cause of some of our issues. You may see the sheriff's office needing a new payroll system in coming years, and it's going to that's going to be a substantial cost if it occurs.
Except that they do say that all the other sheriffs and vicinity use it. So it's, I don't know how they're doing it and not having the same issues, you know.
Absolutely. I will look into that.
Mr. Hoff. Adult use cannabis taxes, you have a $130,000 income and zero outgoing to towns and villages for next year.
We keep 25% of those revenues, so that's just our portion we expect to keep. The outflow on their portion goes to a due from, so it doesn't get any of our true expense or revenue off the sale.
I guess what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a 2024 actual and a 2025 estimate of zero on the outflow. It's on page 7, it's 4919.
Which one is it?
Distribution sales tax, Canada City, Kingston, 4920.1919.
These, the 4919, 4924, and 4927?
Yeah.
Those were created in the beginning when we thought we had to do it a certain way. The Office of Cannabis Management is a little messed up at the moment, so we ended up creating accounts and then changing the accounts, and then finally I just got guidance about a month and a half ago that they are to go into a due to, due from, not into one of these lines. So we're doing reclasses for this year to move them out.
Cool. Next question on incoming on taxes. Is STR tax included in hotel room occupancy?
Yeah, short-term rental, that's hotel motel, yeah.
Can we break that out to distinguish those? Is that a possibility? They're different things. From a legislative, from a policy point of view, they're different things. A short-term rental is a different classification of use than hotel motel. And understanding the distinction between those two is, from the policy point of view, is useful for us.
It's truly the short-term rentals. It's the true term.
I understand that, but I'm saying it's included in one income. It's included in one line.
You're saying you want any revenues from hotel motels to be separate from Airbnbs and things like that? It's something I'll have to look at.
Was a recommendation in our 2020 audit.
It's a significant policy concern of us, but us to yours. And we don't have that number separated out, and that's something that we need to have understanding of before we can understand the policy.
I agree.
Okay. This is what I can do.
And then along with that, I believe that there's about 900 short-term rental that are not currently licensed, which we're also not finding.
That's the enforcement letters that we're hoping will go out this week. Granicus has been a challenge to work with.
I've heard that from many people.
It's been hard. So we believe we will be able to push that button this week, latest next week, and start getting those out. And then I think you should start seeing those numbers.
Okay, and is that a separate line for the fine? That's a fine line? That's a fine?
Sure.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Just while we're on that topic, what's your system for follow-up once the letters go out? Is there some sort of second letter or
actually that is doors? Something we're sitting down to go over, me and one of my deputies, so that we can do the whole process of what's done when.
Yep. Because I'm sure a lot of them are just going to get.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Can you speak about line, let's see, 4580 and 4590? Conference expenses, travel.
We just looked up on the screen right now.
In page 7,
six looks like that is for real property. No, it's fine, council.
Personal service, I bet.
So you got, The one for finance.
Oh, I see.
You said line 6, right?
Nope. Page 6. 4580, 4590.
That is the assigned council
yeah,
line.
That's a sound council.
The Earl Herring budget was recently redone with additional funding coming in through assigned council. That those amounts there will be for a lot of the training programs that we had outlined within our assigned council program budget that we sent off to the state. The reason you're seeing the zeros in there is because we have not had that level of funding through Harold Herring in the past, and we also have not had that program right. implemented. As we stand it up with the new department, we expect that to do.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. For that one. Right, though. Because the conferences, it's we're more than certain. That's not look right. Because the conference expenses that are budgeted is $25,000. For assigned counsel. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so here it is. I'm looking the other way.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep. That's all that. Yeah, it's a very large
yes,
line.
We're very fortunate.
But it's 100% reimbursable for
travel.
Travel,
too. Travel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything, every single thing in the assigned counsel other than the legal expenses is covered by that contract.
Significantly.
So I have, a global question, which I talked to Natalie a little bit about, but one thing that would be helpful for me personally when I'm looking at these budgets is to understand what are state funds, what are funds that the county's paying out. You know, when we're looking at lines, when we're looking at numbers, we're often like, oh, that looks like a huge number. And then we hear, oh, it's reimbursable or it's already taken care of by state. It would be really helpful when we're looking through the budget to have that information in a line somewhere that just identifies where funding is from.
Yeah, the revenue line. The revenue line states it, but the expense doesn't. So yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think it could lower the blood pressure. Hey, that's actually not money that the county's laying out. You know what I mean? I mean, realistically, it's not a bad thing to see.
And then I know you're probably going to look at vacancy savings, and I just want to point out that I have a full staff for the first time in years, so I'm hoping you don't chop my salaries.
Do you want to speak to that?
Just on that briefly. One of the things that you'll see, especially in some of our divisions that we have amongst the reimbursable departments, like Department of Health, DSS, there'll be separate divisions. And a lot of those divisions lay out to the funding schemes that fund that, right? So, you know, DSS programs, there's different funding schemes regarding child welfare, temporary assistance. And the reason why we do that is so that we can better show where the revenues are coming in, where the expenses are, and what the county share is for that. One of the limitations that New World has as far as its software goes is that when it generates these reports, it has a tendency of aggregating all the revenues together and then all the expenses. So it's something that we can look at. One of the things when we are looking at our ClearGov software, which we use to do a lot of our presentation and more public-facing communication when it comes to the budget in order to make it easier to understand and not be a financial document, we can look at maybe doing something like that to make that easier on
It's just so helpful when we get a contract in front of us and it's so clear, this is the county portion, this is a reimbursable portion. You know, it's a different conversation that we're having all of a sudden. So I think that would help with our overall budget conversations.
Yeah, part of the difference when you have departments that have multiple divisions, if you print it division by division, it's going to print your divisions like for assigned council revenue, person expense. So you see it closer together. But when you print it just at the departmental level, it does that, where it clumps it all together. So,
correct. And I guess the only other thing I should mention is I did add a line for expenses for estates, because what's been happening is if there are no funds in the estate, then the county is responsible for sometimes paying cleanup for a piece of property or for the attorney fees, and we've had to consistently take it from other budget lines, which I don't feel is the right thing. So I did add a line for it.
So the topic, thanks for the question. The part-time pay increase, is that 200 hours or decrease in pay or
the part-time is to get some outside help for the Diane and Linda with doing all the foreclosure proceedings with the new Tyler versus Hennepin's new requirements, where I was telling you that the 2 years are going to cross over and they're going to have to do 2 years worth of stuff at the same time. So.
I have a general question also. I see finances having been in transition. Do you feel that you are largely now through that period of transition, or is there still substantial adjustments and transition that needs to be
accomplished? There's still some transition going on. I would say by the end of the audit next year, we should see a significant increase.
Do we have additional support for Diane?
There's something else on the
Can I have another question?
The support time pay that we put in, I know most of it was for Diane and Linda for that area. Wasn't there one other thing for that?
The intent in the part-time pay lines were really to be provide services and support that the department would need in the part-time lines. So we envision part-time help needing, as Roseanne's saying, for the Hennepin tax property in the tax area, but also that can provide some of the support for the real property division within their work.
This is not contracted. This is you're actually hiring. So
these are first time.
Less than half time non-benefited.
Correct.
Chair Gavaris, the idea here is to, with Tyler versus Hennepin, we expect that there will be workload that will spike in the Department of Finance during a particular period of time, rather than needing these individuals the entire year. So what we're looking to do here is to be able to provide part-time, less than half-time, non-benefited employees to be able to help with that influx of workload that comes in, and at that moment that they're doing that work, and then once the work is done, transitioning back to the normal workload that the work size of the department has.
The only other thing you might, I know, is under finance is the rehab loans and grants. There was a $1.75 million decrease in that line. That's because that contract now goes to Verco.
Within the bands, difference for being 12, there's $2 million to our shrinkflow, 196 for interest. I need some help wrapping my head around that one.
Did you say page 12?
12, page 14.
Line 6,000 and 7,000.
That's not on my page 12.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, here.
Yeah.
Remember. I got to read this backwards. I'm used to going this way. Isn't this the one, Ken, where we left it based on? We based this on, I'm trying to remember.
We based some of this on the anticipated sale that we have that's coming up, we believe, Friday.
Tomorrow.
And I believe this is also when we were looking at, working with the auditors, part of the reason why. And I want to spend a little more time researching it. But if I remember correctly, part of what's going on with these bands is they are, especially when they roll up the new year, and we're paying off some of the bands, that'll show up as the expense. That time we roll it to the next year, it's not the expense. We have a large amount of bands we're going for sell this. In this particular thing, in this particular offering. So, again, I need to refresh my memory on what we have there, but my sense is that the reason why the interest is up is because there's a significant number of the bond anticipation notes that we will be renewing, which is not showing the expense, but we would be paying the interest on that.
You know, another thing that fiscal advisors tried to explain to us was that there's a very large band and bond purchase this year but at the same time, there are older ones that are dropping off at the exact same time. So they said basically the cost of the county will remain the same for this year over last year.
So for years, I've been this larger discussion. I'm going to throw it out there now. We don't need to discuss it now because it's a larger discussion. But for years saying, why are we borrowing money?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was unfortunately convinced in the last 9 months that, no, that's a good thing because our investment rate is higher. So we're making money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I went along with that. Looking back, I just thank myself for doing that. Because that part is true. The investment rate was higher, so we're sort of making money. But what I didn't take into account, and just had this epiphany recently, is sure, in the short term, that's true. But the bonds, this is not bands, but the bonds are long term. So over the life of them, we are way in the hole on this. There's no way that over a sustained period of time of a bond, that we are going to come out ahead, because notwithstanding the last few years where interest rates were higher for investment, obviously now that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So why would we not just pay all the bonds, the bands at least, at the very least, forget about the bonds right now, that the bands pay that the principal completely down, stop with the interest, and save ourselves the money. I don't need an answer necessarily. If you want to answer it now, fine. But
what I will tell you is I've heard you say this before, and it is on my radar, and it is an analysis we have to do, but we just don't have the hands to do yet. It is something that we want to do. The other thing is we're finding that we really should be keeping that money separate, and then any earnings on that money should go towards that. Like, everything is kind of pulled right now, so we're talking about how to better track those type of things.
Unfortunately, surveys fair. Commissioner Doris had to listen to this from me for longer than she's been in Clinton County.
For many years now.
Could I just say something? Because I think there's a way of drawing out a little bit of this response, which is I think that if the interest were higher every year than the bond payment, then indeed it would make money over the life of the bond. The reality has been that in recent years that has not been true. And so there is a need for that data to be looked at to see how it plays. And that also then gets into the sphere where you try to anticipate what happens going forward. I look forward to your having the opportunity to do that work.
Thanks.
And come back to us.
Yeah, I said the bonds in the longer term, I understand that's going to take some more work, but a ban is, by very definition, is a short term note.
Yes.
Those, I see no reason when we have such a fund balance that we hear our policy, we need to spend down and start using it. It's a great way to get rid of twos and those dollars. Again,
that's what we're for. Yep. Generous.
Yes.
And save 2 million.
Yeah. The one other thing I would be remiss if I didn't add, part of the reason why you're seeing these capital reserves also created by the request of the county executive is for that reason, right? You've got an $18 million reserve from an operations center, so this way we're using tax dollars today rather than going out to bond to a long term to fund half of that. There's an $18 million decarbonization reserve, and the county executive proposed a $10 million bridge reserve for some of those capital works. To your point, as we're looking at these out-year costs, those initiatives and those decisions will offset additional county money down the road and not necessitate as much borrowing going forward.
There's now still in the budget 2 positions left.
Mm-hmm.
Please see some resources for why we need 2 positions still when we're here at the end of our fund. What's still left out there to do, and how does that require a full year of 2 full-time people? And if we can't answer it now,
that one I can't, but I can come back to you with that one.
Then let's just show part of that. Bring these questions back as well, is how many contracts and what phase within those contracts are they at? So how many contracts are still out there? What percentage of that contract has been filled so far? So we generally are wanting to drop off.
And then is there any explanation as to how, you know, justifying two full-time people and this is how you're put down, this is an out-of-county expense. This is no longer ARPA paying to ARPC, but this is...
Well, that's not really necessarily true.
That's not true, because we did...
It's part of the lost revenue. So basically, we had it in the ARPA money, but in order to protect that money, it was kind of shifted over so that it would cover it and not be lost.
Great. If we eliminated one of the two people, what happens to the lost revenue?
It has to be reallocated.
To where?
Lost revenue.
So we're still costing the county money. It would be the lost revenue to us. We're still taxpayer dollars or fund dollars that it would go towards to reduce.
Yes.
So my point is still valid.
It is on, and I didn't even think about that. That's the third position because we did not even try to fill the third one. We left that one vacant, and there is no plans to fill the third one that just left. So, but I will get you that information.
Thank you.
Can I follow up on that? Does the deputy county executive have anything to add about the ARPA positions that we're still paying for?
Our understanding is that there's still work to be done ahead of us with ARPA. They have a lot of contract closeout, a lot of the contract maintenance. So I think looking at the full list of the contracts, the status of the contracts, where they're at, will be helpful.
They're also, I believe, I don't know if it's part of it, but they're also still, even though some of that's been moved to lost revenue, they're still dealing with all that. You know, just because it got moved over there, didn't go to somebody else. They're still working both sides.
Would it be fair to say that we could eliminate those positions at 6 months, 9 months?
We believe we need them for the full year.
January 1st, everything will be done.
Magical. There's still going to be all the closeout that has to get and all the reporting that's still going to have to get done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
In request, we're not approved in both budget or capital growth.
Everything that I requested is in the budget.
Could you change
this one? No comment. Uh-oh, this is going to be like a kind of thing, right?
That's right. Any new programs, budgets, or missions planned for 2020?
I think in short, you know, what we're looking to do is we're looking to continue to build on the projects that we've been working on. On the budget side of the house, we've been happy with the work that we've been doing with ClearGov to be able to make these documents more user-friendly, more civic-minded, and easier to understand for the taxpayers and citizens of Ulster County. The other part of it that has been helpful with these is specifically ClearGov this year with the personnel listing. And you'll see a few technicals that are going to come from me because with any new software and any new process, there'll be a few bumps along the road. But one of the things I will say that I'm really happy with that software has been the ease that it enabled us to be able to do analysis when it comes time towards looking at our union contracts and what the actual cost will that be. In the past, when I used to cost out these contract increases, it would probably take me about half a day per cost run. There was a quick analysis that we did that took me about 15 to 20 minutes to look at instead with the ClearGov software. So those administrative savings are going to come in handy. And in a moment, we were able to capture some KPIs with what the department has been doing, and we are seeing, like Comptroller Gallagher had mentioned earlier and Director Macaluso, an increase as far as the administrative work that we're doing in the department. The other thing I'll mention while we're here is on the grant side of the house, we want to continue to grow and build upon some of the successes that we've had. And I think it might be beneficial just to give you a snapshot of what we've done so far on the grant side. In the past year so far, we've looked at 246 notice of funding opportunities. We've written 18 applications. We have 3 in process, and we've assisted with 9 other applications being submitted. At this point, we've had six of those grants awarded, totaling $4.1 million. The vast majority of that 4.1, it comes from the SWIMS grant that we worked with the town of Warsing on, but there are several other grants that we were able to help secure for the county. Additionally, the department had, there was a former Deputy Commissioner of Finance who, she left service. We picked up the work that the, for FEMA reimbursements related to COVID, and my department's been responsible for doing that. To date at this point, over the past 3 years, we've recouped $5 million for the county on FEMA reimbursements for the money that we spent on COVID. Just going back to.
Do you have that total figure that can be spent? So what?
I can get that for you. I can get that for you. But it will be it'll be close to that number there.
You think it's a high percentage?
Yeah,
high percentage. That would be my guess.
But I will get that for you. If you'll indulge me for a second, I'll just, while I'm here, I'll talk about it. On the budget side, when we're talking about those administrative work, in 2022, the department processed 1,342 request forms. And so one of the things that I'm looking forward to when Director Macaluso talks about automating those processes, that will be a huge administrative relief for the department. Because in 2023, we processed 1,895 of those. It's a 38.5% increase. As of today, my department's processed 2,206 forms. And if that trend line continues, that'll be a 90% increase from last year. The majority of those are conference approval forms and request to fills. So when we talk about the recruitment and retention plan and how important that is, the work that's being done and you know, a lot of my colleagues, they're suffering from not having those staff members because the work's not getting done. So the pain that we're seeing on my side is it pales in comparison, but it is putting additional workload on the department. By not having those positions. I'll stop there. What's your next question?
Are you anything being omitted?
No.
Do you feel the proposed 25-year budget will be applicable to the capital program? Your department is right size, including staffing for your needs last work group.
Yes.
I had one quick question, and it was about supporting the other departments in their budgeting process. Mm-hmm. I think each department has different levels of comfort with creating budgets.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how you assist them to get through this process.
Definitely. So one of the things that we'll do is we'll, in May of every year, we'll provide a training for every department. We'll spend a week. We'll do about 4 to 5 sessions, one each day. And it's roughly a 2-hour training process, and we'll sit anywhere from department heads all the way down to account clerks who do some of the data entry and walk through both high level what we're looking for, what the county executive's call letter is put out for and the guidance provided there, all the way down to the actual direct entry into New World of what we need. From there, especially with our smaller departments, we will assist them. And in years past, there's been several years where I've met with the director, directly, sat down with them and actually did the entry into New World for them, right? They're not, especially with these small departments, their focus really needs to be on service delivery and the programs that are being done. So it makes more sense for me to spend an hour with them, put everything in, than have them spend a day or two struggling to try and figure out what needs to happen and how to put it in correctly. And I have my staff do that as well. And you know, they know that if a department calls and they need assistance, we're happy. We're always willing to give them, whatever assistance they need. You know, and obviously sometimes, you know, if they're asking for something that isn't going to necessarily align with, the policy directions that we've been given, you know, we'll help them kind of navigate some of that as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And can you clarify for me, is Then the new grant analysts, are they part of that or are they additional? And if they're additional, then how are we coordinating that? So they could have some of the functions you just described, yes.
And they do. And so one of the things we did do this year, and I'm leveraging some of the expertise that the one individual has, she's been with the county for a long time, and she's worked in several other departments. And so we actually asked her to look at some of the departments that she previously worked with to be able to kind of give us an analysis of some of the requests are, some of the, and some color and background to what is being requested and why. And that proved really helpful. The other thing that we've done is when we had those department meetings in July, is I had a couple of them sit in those department meetings so that we could, as departments are talking about some of the programs and initiatives that they have, if there's opportunities where they have some grants that are maybe available. And we were able to identify a few opportunities that, you know, we researched. I don't think we ended up being able to secure anything for those departments, but that building that network and building that system between everybody really has become helpful to institutionalizing the idea of like, all right, we're going to look to do something. Let's see what grants are available for that. And it's all about networking and making sure that they are comfortable with coming to us to be, you know, we have an idea. Is there something that you can fund? Can you find us money for this?
That's exactly what I was hoping was happening. Thank you.
They probably can't do this, but I know a lot of towns do not have grant opportunities, do not have grant people. Can we help them with that through this, through the county right now? Does that cross a line we can't do?
No, we can absolutely help some municipalities. Like I said, one of the most successful grant opportunities that we were able to secure was for the town of Worsing, for that swims grant for the pool. And, you know, I think there's a couple other towns that have some requests in. You know, if we know what they're looking for, you know, as we're looking for our own, if there's something that doesn't necessarily qualify for us, but a town, it may be great for a town, we are more than happy to send that information along to the county supervisors.
Thank you.
Yep. And we've presented at the supervisors meeting as well, and the deputy budget director who's working with the grants program has also presented and offered training opportunities and gone through how do you find grants, where do you look for, all that kind of standardized training for the towns as well. So absolutely open to that.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think that's nice to hear, and not really understand, but it's here for your request to ask you, Jamie and Joanna. But,
I do want to clarify, when I said the position was vacant, the person in the position in finance has been on leave for about a year now. Mm-hmm. And it's not the vacant position, person was our vacant word, but they haven't.
They're coming back.
Yes.
Thanks. Right there.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.